Blog Talk Radio.
Goodness gracious, here we go. Here we go again on Solar Records Radio, where we just get this opportunity every Friday here to celebrate the sound of Los Angeles Records and how blessed we are. Hope you guys are good. Hope God has been good to you and kept you well throughout this last week, as you know, some of you guys come here specifically to hear stories about Solar and the recordings and the live performances, and hear some of the artists come on and tell their stories. And so today we have a special concept that we wanted to share with you guys in regards to the Solar Galaxy of Stars tour. And so what I'm going to do, I'm going to bring my brother in, and we're going to talk about that, because this man right here is also a drummer, and he's a good friend for many, many years. I love Don Newton, and I want to bring him on right now so we could chop it up. Don, what's happening? What's happening? What's happening?
Hey, Wardell. How you doing, man? How's everybody doing out there?
We are good and blessed and highly favored. How about you, man?
I'm good, man. I'm in Michigan, so we got 32 degrees and it's snowing, but it's still all good. It's still all good.
it's still all good. See, I love it. I love it. It's not about the condition you're in physically. It's where you are mentally, right?
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm blessed that you are blessed like that. And much love to your beautiful, beautiful wife, man. Let me ask you this question, because I know that when we were on the road, you know, a lot of us, and if your wife is listening to this, it's okay, because I'm going to say what it is, but nicely. But when we're on the road, you know, being musicians and traveling around the world and stuff, you know, you have, you know, women and men, they just go crazy over the artists that are on the stage, and they come after you full steam ahead and everything. And so I wanted to ask you, did you meet your wife when we were on the road, or did that happen at another time?
Well, that happened while I was back in Michigan. We were like on break, and I had met her playing with a band here, and we just got to know each other. This was a funny story about that is I got to know her, and I actually started having her come out to some of our shows. So she would fly out to some, and we were at one particular show, and just like you said, we were doing a sound check, and she was with us, and two twins started asking me questions and kind of coming towards me, and so she kind of got a firsthand look at some of that craziness that goes on, but
yeah,
but it's all good, though. Yeah, it's all good.
Yeah.
She asked me some questions later on, but it's all good.
That's my girl. That's what she's supposed to do. She's got to look out for number one. She like, I might
That's
be excited.
Right.
I'm excited about you, but I need to know a couple of things, because I love you more.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey,
so,
hey, man,
I need to be. I want to be a little bit more specific. This Don Newton is the drummer for Shalimar on that first Solar Galaxy of Stars tour, and which was one of the biggest tours that was done back then. And so we had so much fun, and Don was playing those drums, and I got the opportunity to play with Don, and you know, I was playing percussions, I was playing the congas. And so and so it's just so cool, you know, to watch Don over there sweating up a storm. Don, it seemed like you were playing 16ths a lot, especially on this song.
Disco and stuff back in those days, you know, 16ths was like, that was commonplace.
Yeah.
With all that disco.
Yep, I can see your arms. Every time I hear the song, I see you. I see your arms going back and forth.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Constant workout. Yep. Yep. I stayed in shape that way.
All right.
Yeah.
So listen, Go ahead.
I wanted to tell you a funny story, man. Talking about when playing with us and stuff. One time, our bass player at the time was Linwood Bates. He was out of the East Coast. He had to go back home. So because you and Leon wrote a lot of the stuff, matter of fact, most of the stuff we did. Leon volunteered. They asked him to play bass for us because we had to go do a show away from Solar Galaxy of Stars tour. And we went and did it. And being a young, I was like in my 20s and stuff. So when you're a young musician, you start playing, and the more you play, the more you want to show what you can do. So I actually started chopping up on second time around a little bit while Leon was with us. And after we finished playing, Leon came up to me and said, "Hey man, why are you doing that on the drums?" And I just said, "Oh, I just wanted to, you know, make it a little funky or something like that." I don't know what I said, but Leon looked straight in my eyes. He said, "It don't need to get no funkier. It already sold over 1 million." I kind of said,
That's so
it was
sad.
A good lesson for me, though, man. It was like, yeah, he's right. I don't need to change this up any.
Well, you know. So this is the thing. I respect what Leon said, and I respect what you were trying to do. But you know, a lot of times the live shows are different than the records because they want to add something. People have gotten more familiar with the songs. You know, the musicians got more familiar with the songs. The singers have sang it the same way for the longest. Now they want to change it up too. So everybody brings something a little different, and that's also good for the audience as well, because it's like they know the song as it is, but if you add some more flavor to it, it's like, oh man, you know, they're taking it to another level. So, you know, so I think that, you know, I want to encourage people to go ahead and go for it, because I mean, you got to also listen to people like, so for in Don's defense, Leon Silvers was the man at Solar.
Yes,
period.
He
was like Smokey Robinson at Motown. Leon Silvers was powerful. And so if he says something like that to you, of course, you know, as out of respect, if nothing else, you're going to listen and do what you got to do, because you want to make sure you hold this gig, right? You want to protect your work, right? You're like,
that's right.
Okay, whatever you say, but in terms of your spirit and what you were going for, it was right on point. Because you always want, I got it now, but, you know, let me see if I can add something, you know, some of me to it. Let me put some of me in
exactly.
It. You know, and so that's what you were going for. All right, so that's, but we love Leon Silvers. So I get it, man. I was actually scared. I was actually afraid to get too close to the girls in all the different groups. Even Jody, I was afraid to get too close to her. And as much as Jody and Jermaine Stewart and myself, we used to laugh and play a lot and have fun. I was still in the back of my mind. I was like, okay, I don't want, you know, somebody to think something, and next thing you know, we're sending Wardell home. He's too friendly with the girls, you know. So it was that thought was always in the back of my mind. Okay, so let me just back up. So this is what I want to do. I want to ask you. So here we go. We know that we're getting ready to prepare for the Solar Galaxies of Stars tour. You guys were rehearsing underneath us, getting ready, right? In the Wilshire Fine Arts Building. Isn't it funny the name of that building? The name of the building?
Yeah, that's right. Because I remember Climax rehearsed there too.
Right. Climax and us and some of the other groups would slip in and out real quickly, but we were primarily there. You, us, and Climax. And so you guys started preparing, and that's when Leon heard you, you know, do that thing, right? He walked into the rehearsal room there, right? Yeah. Was that when he heard
No,
you?
He actually, the only time he heard it was when we were playing live, because he got called while we were on a tour. We were, like, actually out playing, and the bass player had to take off, so they needed to fill the bass. So they asked Leon to step in and do the bass line. So Leon just basically went and did a show with us, and he just
didn't
heard how
that.
I was playing to that song.
Oh, wow. That's really
Yeah, we didn't rehearse it or nothing together. I never rehearsed with him. He just did it when we did that show.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So we were preparing. We're doing our thing, getting ready. Now, when we started the tour, how did you feel? Was this your first tour ever?
Yes, it was, man. I had came from Grand Rapids, Michigan, and playing in a group back then called Captain Crunch and the Funky Bunch. Matter of fact, Jeffrey Daniels was in that group with me. He had came to Michigan for a short period of time, and then he went back out to California, so he called me out there. But, yeah, everything was new, man. Jody used to tease me all the time because she said I was, like, scared to talk to people. She said if we went to, like, one of those Hollywood parties or something, she said I'd be behind some bushes kind of just peeking out at people and stuff. They used to tease me about that because everything was new, man. It was all new to me. It was fun, though. I had the time of my life.
Right.
I'll tell you another story. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No. Go ahead. Tell me the story.
I'll tell you another story. When we were on the Solar tour the second time, because I did a couple of them with them. The second one, we were doing a show, and Shalimar had to go off and do another concert, an outside concert in Tennessee with the Whispers. And they also had Sky was on that show, and GQ was on that show. And it was like one day we went away from the Solar tour. So we were doing everything, and then all of a sudden the Whispers manager came to me and said, "Hey, Don, Kirk," which was the drummer for the Whispers at the time, "Kirk want to talk to you." So I said, okay. So I went to the bus, and Kirk was in one of those bus beds of that older, you remember the old buses, the Solar bus?
He was
in one of those little beds, and he said, "Man, I'm sick." He said, "Can you do the show for me?" And I had never played with them before, but I used to love watching Kirk play, so I would watch his show all the time. And me coming from Michigan, I said, "Now I'm supposed to be a professional drummer. I can't say no, I can't do it." So I said, "Yeah, man, I could do the show." And then when I walked from his bus to the stage, I was praying all the way, my brother. I was saying, "God, help me in this situation, because I don't want to make a fool out of myself." You know, even though I had listened to the show and everything, but man, God must have heard me, because all of a sudden he made me get real calm when I was on stage, and I remembered all their changes and every song I went through it. And they were kind of lyric, but they were very excited. It was like, matter of fact, GQ, they were like behind me on stage with Jeffrey. And the guy in GQ kept saying, "He ain't never rehearsed with them before." And Jeffrey kept saying, "Nope." And then we do another song, and then I may be hitting the turns and all that stuff. "He never played with them before." This guy kept saying, I could hear him say it. But God bless me that night, my brother. Matter of fact, Randy said that I played Whisper Show better than Shalimar Show, which I don't know if that was a good thing.
That's terrible, Randy. Oh, my God. But, you know, the thing is that I think that so this show, real quick, I'm getting ahead of myself. This show, it was you guys. I mean, who was on this show that Solar Galaxy Star Stores?
The Solar Galaxy Stars was the regular. It was Shalimar Dynasty, Lakeside, and the Whispers. And I think Kerry Lucas was doing some of that too. But every once in a while, they would have us go off and do another show on one of our days off. And that particular show was an outside baseball stadium. And the Whispers was on that show too, but it was us, the Whispers, Sky, and GQ.
Ah, very good. So, yeah, we were going off and doing other shows too, yes.
Yeah, they told me, they said, "Well, if you can't do it, we're going to have to cancel the show because we don't have a drummer."
Wow.
Matter of fact, Dick Griffin told me the next day, because he had came on the road, and I heard somebody hollering at me. He called me and said, "Hey, Big D, I heard you took care of business and stuff like that." I was like, "Oh, man, that's cool. Dick Griffin is giving me props." So, man, you know what, though? Back in them days, we were so young, man, I would have paid them to play.
Right. So they paid you?
Yeah, they paid me $80 for that gig.
$80? What?
$80.
They are too stingy. That is just wrong. They are just too stingy. But I get what you're saying.
You
get, yeah. That's like a tip. That was like a tip at a nice restaurant. Right, here you go, it's $80 thing. I did a show. I saved your show. You guys made thousands of dollars. You're gonna give me $80. Get out of here. Anyway, all right. I'll keep that to myself. But that's just wrong. I mean, that's just wrong. I got God in every way.
But that's what
right. I love the whispers, but that's wrong. Anyway, God, I love my Don too, my brother. You when you bless somebody like that and save him, I mean, not only should they paid you what they were going to pay the drummer, but they should also pay you more on top of it for putting you under that kind of pressure. You know, we appreciate you. You know, show appreciation, man. Jesus Christmas. Anyway, so Don, so you're going on the road. The first gig you go to, I mean, was there any, like, were you like freaking out? Like, look, I'm about to do this. I'm working with, you knew Jeffrey already because you had been working with him before. But to be with Jody and Howard, how was that building that relationship with them for you?
It was like family, just like the rest of you guys, Dynasty, Lakeside. As you get to know people, it becomes like a family. I'm going to tell you how old I am though now, man. When I first got out there with Shalimar, I was with the very first guy that was with Shalimar before that did Uptown Festival. A couple of shows. We did the Roxy, and then the next guy that was singing before Howard, I can't even remember his name.
Gerald Brown?
Yeah, Gerald. They had two singers before Howard. I was playing with them before them two guys. I mean, before Howard came on. So it was, okay. When we was playing with Howard and them, it was a little bit more, I was more comfortable. But still, the big thing to me, though, was probably like everybody else, the excitement of the other bands and stuff, and you wanting to hold your weight. You know, I didn't want to let anybody down, because when Lakeside was doing their thing and when you guys were doing your thing, I said, uh-oh, we got to bring it now. We can't halfway do this. You know, it kind of hypes you up to want to get out there and do your best.
Right, absolutely. So did you get to go back on the tour? Did we go back to your hometown?
We went to Kalamazoo, which was the closest. We didn't go to Grand Rapids.
So did your family come?
Yeah, they came out because that was only like about 45 minutes.
So did your family fill up the whole stadium?
Oh, man, it was a lot up there, but that's another funny story, man. Some of my family is we kind of crazy. And I had some of my family members was up front. They were heckling Lakeside.
Oh, my God.
They were saying, my cousin coming out here, and they going to kick, you know, that kind of stuff.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, no. Lakeside was victims. Was that?
Yeah. I had to find that out later that they had said that, but it was like, oh, no, you didn't.
Did you find out from Lakeside, or did you find out from your family?
No, they told me. They told me. They told me.
Okay. I have a question for you from overseas. You know, in the UK, they love Shalimar, right? So the question for you is, has Don ever played the Apollo or Maverick's Flat?
We did. When I said Maverick's Flat, it wasn't with Shalimar. Matter of fact, Jeffrey wanted to do a skit. That's when Poppin', we started putting it into the show, and Jermaine was with us too, Jermaine Stewart. And Jeffrey had this little skit, so we actually did a little performance with Jeffrey about Poppin' and how it, you know, it was a little skit that Jeffrey made up. But Shalimar never really performed there, and no, never played at the Apollo. We did do the big club in Hollywood, though, the Roxy. We did the Roxy. So that's,
okay. The that's Roxy is amazing. I love the acoustics and at the Roxy. Man, when we were playing there, I was like, well, I wish we were recording this, because, whoa, the acoustics in there just like the Greek. You played at the Greek?
Yeah. Yeah, we played the Greek.
The
too.
Acoustics are just crazy. Beautiful. Like, whoa. And so anyway, man. Hey, man, listen. I got to say, do you have any moments? I'm going to tell you my moment with you that you might not remember. And you probably don't even think about it. But it was a memory for me because I don't know why God put it in my head, but it's in my head. And I think about every time I think about when we played at Disneyland.
Okay.
And we were at remember Disneyland?
Yeah, yeah. And we played there every time they had, what do you call those high schools where they had proms?
Yeah,
and they would let the kids go there for free.
Yes, yes. And I just remember that for me was the moment that I started feeling this sync with you as from one drummer to another. I was feeling, mm-hmm. I was getting into your pocket, into your groove, into what you were doing. And I think that's when I developed a lot of respect for you as a human being and as a drummer. I was like, he's a good brother. He's doing his thing and he's making it happen. And I was proud of you.
I appreciate that, whatever.
And you grew up to be such an amazing man. You also were a police officer too, right? When you left Shalimar, you
that was one of the other guys. That wasn't me.
All right. I thought you became a police officer. What did you do when you left Shalimar?
Got a regular 9-to-5, played in bands and stuff. I ended up working for Coca-Cola for like 27 years, man.
Ah, yeah. There you go. Smart man, right? Because you're like, I got to make sure my future is secure. Yeah. So, all right. I got a few more minutes. I want to ask you, is there anything else, anything that stuck out to you? I mean, you know, one of the places that stuck out to me was when we played in New York. Do you remember we played at Madison Square Garden?
Yeah, my cousins remind me of that all the time. I got some cousins that live in New York. We had left them some, I mean, that's when you could leave tickets for people at the door and that kind of stuff. So they did it up. Yeah, I definitely remember that. Also remember we played in New York and we went to a party afterwards. And Bloom, which was one of the roadies, he's got his own business now. He has like his own bus lines and stuff that tours other people. But mm-hmm. Bloom was a roadie at that time. And we were, cabs didn't want to take you nowhere in New York unless you were going. They're going to make some money. Well, maybe I shouldn't tell the story.
I'm going to turn the music down so we can hear it real good.
Bruce told the guy, said, hey, man, we're going to give you a big tip. Why don't you give us a ride? So he gave us a ride back from the party to the hotel. And Blue gave him like about $5. And the cabbie said, he started cussing at Blue, said $5. And the cabbie actually spit on Blue. And
Blue, what? Oh my! He spit.
Yeah,
oh.
But he spit on Blue, and all next thing you know, you hear Blue harking.
Oh Blue my! Spit. Oh no! Oh my God! I'm gonna talk to Blue about that. So, yeah, because I guess the guy felt that was an insult, right? He's like, "What? $5? Come on, you guys are supposed to be stars here. What's going on?"
Yeah.
Well, that's the same way, you know, you probably, well, but you said playing with the Whispers, you would have paid them to do that gig, but that's how I felt about it when you told me they only paid you $80. I'm like, get out of here. So, but
hey,
anyway,
I knew you remember Grave Digger, right?
Yeah, he was our bus driver.
He used to introduce me to a lot of different people. Like the different drummers from the different groups and stuff, because he worked with a lot of people, and I always remember him. His nickname for your audience was called Gravedigger because he drove at night while we were all sleeping. So that's why his nickname is Gravedigger.
Yes, I really enjoy Gravedigger. He was really a nice man. And I always thought his name was strange. It was like, why did you adopt that name? But anyway, now I see because he works while he's working. But the problem with some of our drivers, we had the limo drivers and the bus drivers, they were enjoying the shows so much that it was hard for them to rest when they should have been resting. You know, and you see them just out having a good time. And I'm thinking, oh, no. Brad, what are you doing? Remember Brad? Brad would just be, you know, red head and red eyes. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
So I got to drive the limo a lot because I enjoyed it, actually. I enjoyed it. I was like, Brad, you get in the back with the guys and let me drive. And he would get in the back with with the band, and I would drive. You know, to the next city, and it was nice. I mean, driving a limo, that was a whole nother experience.
Yeah. That was fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was fun. But, man, just is there anything else you want to say about, Shalimar, Jeffrey, and Jody? I mean, what a wonderful situation for a young man out of Michigan to have. Yeah. You know, that was a blessing for you. And, they're still out there doing Shalimar gigs to this day.
Yeah.
So is there anything you would like to say in closing about that?
I would like to say, first of all, Jeffrey is like a brother from another mother type of thing, because we played here in Michigan. And then he gave me a phone call when he was hooking up with Shalimar, and he said, "Hey, man, I want you to come out here and play with Shalimar. Your plane ticket is already paid for." And it was like,
whoa,
man. It was that kind of deal. And so when I came out there, I stayed with him and Jody. And I like to thank Jody openly for everybody to hear, because she was like a sister to me, and she allowed me to stay there with him, with her and Jeffrey. You know, every time I was over there, I didn't have a place to stay. I stayed with them. So they took me. Like I said, it was like a family, just like Dynasty, you guys. And it was just like Solar was a very special place.
Yeah.
So I got to ask you a question, though. Do you remember how Dick Griffey used to shake your hand?
Because
he would always shake it and then throw it down.
See,
Do you remember that?
No. I don't remember that, but I believe that. He was Dick Griffey was a different kind of character, as a matter of fact, he used to be on the side of the stage when we were performing, and and I was excited that we were doing something that lifted him up, because he had given us all the opportunity to be there, right? It was because it was his dream. We were living inside of his dream, right?
Yeah.
And so I was glad to be able to do something. I had this kind of respect for him that was, more like thank you respect.
Yeah.
So it was hard for me to see the dark side of him. As a matter of fact, I wasn't even looking for it, because I looked at him as almost like a uncle, father figure. Like, he's an older man and a gentleman that gave me opportunities, right? And though it was indirect through Dynasty and Leon Silvers, but I know one person that might remember that. Linda Carrier from Dynasty, you are on the line. Do you remember Dick's handshakes? Did you see him shake people's hands like that and throw it down?
I don't remember that, but it was fun hearing the story, because just like you said, it feels like I have seen it, but I did not. I wasn't aware of it. That's hilarious.
Yeah, I don't think he even knew. I don't think Dick knew he was doing it, but he would do it. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
That's
interesting.
So when I think about that kind of handshake, if I was the individual that was doing it, and then I think about how he was he was the guy, right? So his brain, he was all over the place. So it was almost, it could have been non-intentional, but he was focused.
Yes.
Even as he's shaking your hand, he's thinking about the next person that he wants to say something to, or they want to say something
probably
to him. And yeah, and so he's not locked into the relationship at the moment, whoever he's shaking their hands. He's like, hey, how you doing? And moving on to the next person, moving on to the next person. But it was just, it was still an honor that he was shaking your hand, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And Wardell, do you guys ever remember people putting like silverware plates, like dishes in front of your hotel door?
Yeah.
Because me and Jeffrey used to mess with Dynasty, Lakeside, and we would go around just messing with people.
You guys were clowns.
That's hilarious.
You guys, I remember that, and I didn't understand, and I thought, were we just being lazy and just set it right there? Because usually we'll open up the hotel door and set it on the side, but not right as soon as you open the door, boom, it's right there. And I'm telling Ricky on you, man. I'm gonna tell everybody in Dynasty. That was Don and Jeffrey Daniels.
Story.
Oh, Jeffrey, I'm getting ready to call. Hold on 1 second, Don. I think you have a caller from Michigan. I mean, hold on. Hey, is this you, Julian?
It is me. How you doing?
I'm fine. Yeah. Are you? Did you have something to say to Don?
Yes, I wanted to say hi to Don and hello to Linda as well. And
okay.
I'm just listening to these stories. Hello. I'm listening to these solar stories, and I just wanted to let you guys know I can relate because I was at those Solar Galaxy of Stars reviews, and I enjoyed them. Yeah,
okay.
You talked about Gravedigger. He was a friend of ours.
Yes,
okay.
I know him.
Yeah, Greg. Yeah. Yep, Gerald. He was one of our buddies, and Blue, and also T. They were, you know, buddies of ours too. Uh huh. Yeah, and Michael Frankie, and
right.
You guys talked about Maverick's Flat, and
mm-hmm.
I also on vacation we went to Maverick's Flat, and you know that's a place that I just always had like really really fond memories of. So whenever I hear Mavericks, I'm like, oh my God, they're talking about Mavericks. You know, that was just one of the spots. So yeah,
right.
So I just wanted to call and, you know, tell you guys that I'm really enjoying the conversation and everything. And I remember them good old days.
Oh, they were
That's
great
lovely.
Days. Great days. Well, you know, thank you. And you, I'm gonna let you guys go, but Don, And Julian, you guys are in the same state, right? So, and both of you guys, are you experiencing snow as well, Julian?
Yeah, remember I sent you the pictures of the snow.
I know, but you said it was gone.
Yeah.
And Don said
well,
it's snowing
right now. Well,
what city
see,
are
I'm
you
like
in
Detroit.
Okay.
I'm in Detroit.
Okay.
So it's
yeah,
like,
that's
so
on the
it's
side.
Like, yeah.
That's about two and a half hours away, but it's snowing over here.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little
distance.
Yeah. Well, it might be. Are you east of him or west of him?
She's east. Matter of fact, Grand Rapids is on the west side of Michigan by the lake. Detroit's on the east side of Michigan by the lake.
Oh, okay. Well, I just want you to know, Julian, it's on its way. That's the way it flows. So,
I know.
So get ready. Put your boots on, girl. All right.
Okay.
Well, I want to say thank you, Don. Thank you so much. In closing, Don. Did I give you a chance to talk? Say hi to Linda. I'm sorry, I didn't. Linda.
Yeah. Hi, Linda. Hi. Good to hear your voice. It's been a long time.
Thank you so much. Long. It's lovely to hear your voice, and we'll chat again in the future. Thank
Definitely.
You, okay?
Definitely. All right.
Okay.
You guys take care.
Bye, Julian. Okay, you too.
Okay.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right. Wow. Okay, so listen, we're going to take a small music break, and we come back and chop it up with Linda Carey A here on Solar Records Radio as we listen to her song with Dynasty. We'll be right back. All right. You know, I was singing that song. Oh, Linda, what a beautiful song. What a beautiful song. Hey, why don't you, you know, we're going to talk about the Solar Galaxy of Stars tour. But before we get there, why don't you tell us the process of recording this beautiful, beautiful song that somehow wasn't a single, or was it? Did they ever release this as a single?
I don't think so. You would know better than I did. I didn't even keep up with it. No, no, it was not. During that
okay.
time, Here I Am was the single from that LP.
Okay. Well, but I know that, see, this is the strangest thing. Dick was releasing singles overseas in different countries that we didn't know. And found out
exactly.
years later. Found out years later what was going on. So why don't you tell us about the process of recording the song. Did Leon call you? Did he try having the guys, Will or Kevin, sing this? Or was this a Linda song from
no,
the start?
No, it was from the beginning when... the songwriter, tell me his name. I can't even think of his name right now.
I got a block right now too.
I know, so do I. And he's really cool. He wrote this songwriter, we'll give you the name later, wrote the song, and he knew Kevin. So he went to Leon and he said, I wrote a song and, you know, it's for Kevin. Leon said, okay, play it for me. So he played it, and Leon, I remember the story from him, he said Leon started shaking his head and said, no, this isn't for Kevin. It's for Linda. And he said he was kind of taken aback because he only knew Kevin, and that's where he wanted his song to go. So anyway, just in the normal process of things, it wasn't any special call. It's just we were working. We were putting an album together. And so Leon said, Linda, I have a song. You're going to be next after whatever we were finishing. And I said, okay. And so I'll jump to and finish the story about the songwriter. Oh, I'll think of him. Help me. You have to think of him. The last night of recording that song, we were almost done, and Leon had called him to invite him to the studio. So I had noticed, you know, that somebody else had gone into the room as I'm singing, because I'm paying attention to what I'm doing and the lyric sheet and the engineer and Leon. And as soon as I finished, and, you know, there's like a real hooray from Leon, and we're laughing, and the studio door bursts open, and this man walks in, and this slender, handsome guy walks in, and his arms are wide open. And I looked at the control booth like, I don't know who this is, but okay, he seems lovely. And so he came, and Leon was laughing, so I knew it was okay. So he walked in, and he told me the story of how he wanted this, he thought the song was for, he knew nobody else in the group except Kevin, and he thought that would be a good fit for him. And he said, Leon knew immediately, oh no, this is for Linda. And he said, I want to tell you I love it. And I was so happy, and because I've never met him, we just worked, you know, normally it didn't matter who the songwriter was, Renwick Jackson. Thank you. And so
thanks, Greg.
Thank you. Because I could see him. Thank you, Greg. And so I could see him, and he was so warm and said, Linda, I'm so happy. I love my song. And I said, oh, thank you. And I was really happy as well. And so he was part of the small group that's listening to the playback and Leon signing off that we're done, you know, that it was done. And so it was just the process of singing it was normal, as all processes go, of you're assigned the song and you work on it piece by piece. And Leon liked doing the hooks first so that you could sing and then you would hear that as well. And so my process was always just to be ready. I vocalized, you know, maybe an hour before just to be ready to do your best, and your voice and my voice would be warmed up. That's what you do. And we would have very quiet sessions. It was just me, Leon, and the engineer, and it went pretty quickly. It was really fun. I remember one of my funny, Leon's making me laugh. It was one of his funny moments, and he, you know, was just singing, and after I'd sung a certain part, and this is extemporaneous speaking, everybody, so I'm not prepared to remember all the details of the story, but there's a word in it about crying, and I felt it, and my voice showed it, and Leon was like on the floor afterwards, and he said, "Thank you very much for that crying cry that worked so well."
yes.
He said, "I didn't miss that. That's a keeper." And so it was really fun. So it
that's
was
what
just
you
a
call
process. It worked very well.
That's a perfect mistake. See, it's like perfect.
No,
mistake.
It wasn't even meant to be a mistake. It wasn't even meant to be a mistake. He liked the acting out of it, the feeling.
Oh, did you intentionally do that?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't planned in advance. It was just getting being involved in the song and buying it while you're doing it.
Whoa.
No, it wasn't a mistake, and it wasn't planned. It was just singing.
That's cool.
And Leon said, "I love that." And
look,
I said,
you.
"Really, let me hear it again." So
that's
it was
cool.
Fun. Yeah, no, it wasn't a mistake. Yeah, it was really fun.
Yes. There you go. I love it. I had no idea. That's you learn something, and that's 40-something years later. I'm learning this. Wow.
Right. Yeah. Isn't that funny? No, it was just. It's just if you know, it's very easy to be involved in the song and the ballads. You're very. The story is super important. I mean, the hook of anything is, but in ballads, you have time to really feel the story and deliver it like that. And so, no, that was fun. It was just a warm song to do, and we had a really good time doing it.
That's awesome. All right, so now I want to get to the Solar Galaxies of Stars tour. You know, so this is so interesting. I mean, I got to talk to Don about, you know, from the Shalimar's his Shalimar point of view,
experience.
And it was just very interesting. And but excuse me,
bless you.
Clear my voice here. Give me 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the interesting thing here for me is that first of all, we were in the same group, and so
right.
So us being in the same group, and we have multiple people in this group, but you got to know that every single individual in the group had their own version of what happened because it's their experience,
sure.
Right? And everybody sees
sure,
it
sure.
differently. And so,
sure.
but on top of it, our first show outside of what we did in California as we were leaving to go on the road, per se, was to your home town, state,
mm-hmm.
your home state.
Home state,
in,
right.
In
right.
Baton Rouge. And so how did that impact you? I mean, how did you feel? Are you like, oh, my God, the first place we're going?
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, listen, you know, when we're young and we're just doing what we're supposed to do and whatever the step is, we're doing that. And then the next step is that it was easier to look back on the story on that experience many years later and remember. I remember the lighting. I remember how it felt. And to be perfectly honest, no, it wasn't. I knew, I mean, my family was there and friends were there, But being so focused on the work of it, once you hit the arena and you hit the stage, it's about that. But I can remember the lighting and, you know, that impacts my story. And it was a really healthy crowd. It was really terrific. And my family was there. My dad is backstage. And, but truly, honestly, for me, it was more about doing what we knew how to do, which was we were young, we were just beginning. So I was more focused on that. Focusing on the experience really came after the show and hanging out with family and friends and laughing. But, you know, when you're that young, all of that is flying by you. So, no, I wasn't super impacted by the fact that it was my home state first. I remember that much later. I mean, hanging out with my dad afterwards was a big deal. And that, having that opportunity didn't happen otherwise. But it was, the tour was, after it was all done, and we'll go back to the beginning and the middle and relive it, but that was a very impactful experience for everybody. It was the first major Solar tour. And that came after every group having it. And for us, it was our first recording as Dynasty. We were the babies of the group, of the tour, of the company.
Yes.
And the,
carrying all the weight.
What's significant about that is that Leon was producer in chief of Solar Records. Everything leaned on him. I mean, we have to do another show where we talk about that, because that's hard to imagine. And again, because we're young and we're just taking in work and experience as it comes, we're just taking it in quickly. You don't reflect on it that way. But he was involved in every single group's recording, and we were his group. And we're the youngest group that was put together then, you know, before then, and then we went on the tour. So every group, the Whispers, most experienced, classy, unbelievably beautiful voices and sound, Lakeside with a thing, with a marketable thing, colors, dancing, serious, you know, songs, fun and heavy, heavyweights, just killer performances. Shalimar, big hits, real singers, real stage presence, super talent as well. And then here comes the baby group. So we were learning on the move and on stage. And because everyone fit together so well, that helped it all. Everybody was young, energetic, lovely in personality, and it's Leon's group. So after thinking about the whole company and dealing with that, he's focused on his group, which is Dynasty, played bass, sang, Nydra, just super stage presence, warm as heck, loving, Kevin, killer male voice, perfect lead, Will Shelby, different voice, a different sound that added a different color to all of us singing together. Lovely person, could dance, really fun. Richard on guitar, real personality, warm and quiet. And he always made me remember that we were on the same side, so we could laugh together about something that nobody else caught. And Ricky, bass player and keyboards, super talented, real personality, radiating from the stage. Pepper Reed left us too early. He was a phenomenal, left us as in passing away too early, phenomenal guitarist. Lovely, missed the opportunity of getting to know him further. The percussionist, what was his name again?
Wayno.
Fun, lightweight person, very easy to get along with, lovely. Leon on bass, real stage presence, noting every single note beat that's happening because, you know, he's leading everything.
It.
And then we get to, and me, one of the singers, lead as well. But I'm getting to Wardell last because, you know, we always, you know, as a nickname of being in the pocket, this man brought perfect rhythm to a performance. And a drummer has to rein it all in. He's really blocking the music. He's really controlling how you hear it, how you move, all of that. So his talent and strong, wild personality on the drums. Now think about it. Both your arms are moving and both your legs are moving, and you're dealing with different drums and instruments at the same time. And he still managed to give a very electric performance on the drums.
Oh,
so
thank you.
That was the baby group dynasty. So we grew pretty fast together. And
before you go
like,
on,
as I said, we just sit together well. Uh huh.
Before you go on, I just want to also mention that this baby group, we were the baby group out of the groups that we were performing, where we had the Whispers, and you had Shalimar, and you had Lakeside that already had been established, and they had gold
right.
and platinum records,
right.
and Dynasty was the new group that was going on the road for the first time as a group. But the thing about this group, we wrote the hits
mm-hmm.
for all the other groups.
Exactly.
So,
I wasn't going to forget that.
Yeah, and we played on also. So we're going out on tour because of the success of the music that we wrote and produced on these other groups.
Everywhere else, exactly.
And we're enjoying it. So when we're on that stage, we're doing Dynasty, but we could come out the stage and still hear all the stuff that we did. And so it was just overwhelming in terms of like, you know, gratitude. And it was like, wow,
mm-hmm.
all this stuff is coming back. We did all that music for the Shalimar and the Whispers. And
exactly.
Leon Silvers
exactly.
worked with Lake, you know, produced Lakeside's first hit.
Mm-hmm.
It's All the Way Live. And so on
mm-hmm.
and on and on, you know, the Dynasty thing went across from the beginning of the show all the way to the end. It was Dynasty.
Exactly.
Like Greg said, Dynasty was the hidden treasure of Solar.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
and that is true, because Dick Griffey used Dynasty to get what he wanted done for his company, and that's hit songs.
Totally.
And so
totally.
We were so focused on doing everybody else stuff, we couldn't focus on Dynasty. We could not. We had to stay an infant group. We never could grow up
mm-hmm.
because we were so busy. He kept us in the studio, and I mean, he had that right to do that. But if that,
but,
you know,
but
we
I'll,
were smart
I'll,
enough.
I want to change your.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No.
I wanted to change your words. I just wanted to change your words a little bit. Yes, Dynasty was the young group, but like I just wanted to introduce every member of Dynasty. But to reiterate what you were saying, you guys, the musicians, wrote with Leon for every other group, played on every track of everybody else. And even though it was the youngest group together formed, there was so much talent in that group that it was an easy growth spurt, easy growth. And because everybody's personalities were so warm and loving, everybody fit together really well. Mm-hmm. And so by the time we were performing, it really wasn't difficult to work together or to blend together, to you know, because you guys worked constantly on everything else. But I know what I think the word I was going to say is that we were kept influenced. I disagree with that. You guys' talent was supreme. It's the brand of Dynasty that remained young. Because
yeah.
That's all.
Yes.
Not any of the musicians.
Right,
But so yes, that grew, and what I won't expound on much is that Dynasty really had, there were opportunities offered for Dynasty to break through in lots of ways. But because Dynasty was the foundation of Solar's music, that was kind of put off, it continued to be put off. And
yes.
Yeah, that's unfair. But the motivation was, you are doing everybody else's music. We need you to do this. We need you to do that. We need you to do these. We need 5 songs for this group. We need 2 for this one. So when Dynasty was not performing, was not on stage, they were working constantly anyway. So the musicianship was strong, and never by baby of the two I just met, we were the youngest group formed. But those musicians were and are really incredible, and they were the foundation of everything. Okay.
But you know, so the other thing too about the tour, and thank you, Linda, that
mm-hmm.
was great. That was beautiful. Well said. The one thing I want to say about this tour is that Dynasty, we opened up the show. Now, you got to remember, we opened the show. We were the ones, the hit makers. And I'm not bragging about this. I'm just giving you facts,
no,
right?
Go ahead.
We were the hit makers of the record company. So when we went on that stage, trust me, our show was so detailed. It was so put together. Leon Silvers had worked us. He had developed us. We were
That's true.
We were a hit show, like he was making mm-hmm. hit records. Our stuff was so organized. The girls were beautiful.
And tight.
They were tight. It was like in the front. The image was just amazing. Because Dynasty was a show that you could get everything. The guys got with the girls when they came to see it. And the girls got the men that they wanted, because they were all mm-hmm. organized. We were uniformed.
Mm-hmm.
And we were doing choreography. And it was just so
mm-hmm.
everybody was in sync. And it was amazing with Leon Silver's
sure.
big afro right in the middle. And so we would set the pace of this show for everybody every night. This is where
that's really true. True.
Yep. Set the level. It's right here. And our level was so high that every time the next band with Lakeside came on, they had to take it to the next level, because they could not be right where Dynasty were, because we were the babies, right? But our level was set so high that they had to come
and
on.
And you know what I want to let me
go
insert
ahead.
One thing and then get back to your story. On the exact pace and feeling of what Wardell is saying, you know, because we were the first act, we opened the show. And
yeah.
often audiences wait for the act they want to see. Let me tell you, that didn't happen with us. Just like Wardell is saying, it was crowded, and it was like, we're opening the show, and it's all attendance full. So it was like thousands of people responding and dancing and with us at that time. So that's what Wardell is describing. So, okay, go back. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just, what that did was this baby group, this youngest group mm-hmm. up on that stage was the one that was setting it off. We set
setting
every show. Yep. And that was for the audience because they were the mm-hmm. beneficiaries of all the hard work that we had to go do to get ready for this. So not only were we getting ready for it when we were in the studio writing, producing all these hit songs for those other groups, we also were getting ready for it when we were rehearsing our butts mm-hmm. off at least 8 hours a day. 8 hours a day. It was a real job. We were working our butts off. Then we would go outside and we would get our tacos at the dock because Taco Bell was right next door. And then we would fill up on tacos and go back in there. I mean, we work. On top of it, after that, sometimes we would go in the studio and record a new song at Studio Masters. Mm-hmm. And then the next day, the mm-hmm. same thing over and over because we never stopped. So our level, when we hit the road, we were on this. We were not a typical
it was
baby
already.
Group.
No, we were.
Yeah, we were.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
We were just the youngest group, but we were developed. And we had a huge audience to perform to every night. So that really did. That's what I wanted people to know. It wasn't like the opening act and, you know, the theater's not full or the venue's not. No. It was packed and wonderful. So.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, I do have questions for you. What was the promoter's name? Do you remember the promoter that I think he was from your state too? Oh man,
oh,
I'm trying to think.
W. G. Garrison.
W. G. So Dick Griffey and W. G. were, I guess they were like buddies, like Linda and I are buddies. They were like buddies,
mm-hmm.
and they would hang. They hung out all the time, at the shows on the side of the stage, and they didn't look like
mm-hmm.
they had. They didn't look like they had any money.
They're not showing off, right?
Yeah, they were just like just homeboys on the side of the stage. They looked like they were work, but they were the promoter and they was Dick Griffey, right? The owner. And so
right.
it's like and
right.
I used to see them and I remember so do you know anything that you could share about the promoter? And what a gig for him. Whoa.
Well, WG, exactly. I don't know how they met, how he and Dick met, but when I met him, I instantly loved him. He was just warm, funny, and kind of low-key. But he had a wonderful club in Baton Rouge, and it was a really cool place to hang out. I loved that wooden building inside. It was, you know, hardwood. It was just a really great venue to eat a little and hang out, but the music was fierce. So
yeah.
He was just a really good guy. And there was a huge group of promoters that handled Solar stuff everywhere. And I can only say that the promoters, when time allowed, all the promoters and Dick would meet in whatever city to share a drink or two before a show. And it might be 20 promoters or 10, you know. Mm-hmm. And they were just, it was business, but that's how they, you know, sort of bonded and just faced that. They just made a point of meeting and hanging out for a little while and then go on their way. It was really cool.
And I got to tell you, like, I remember, okay, when we were in Louisiana, this particular, now this is my very first professional tour. I've been on other tours, but
mm-hmm.
this is my first professional tour. And so after, you know, we did the show and stuff, we left. and we got in the limo, and they took us to a nightclub. And I think it was WD's mm-hmm. nightclub. And we went to the nightclub.
Yeah, it was.
Okay. And we went to the nightclub, and so we're sitting. They put us at this specific location at the table to do autographs. And so we're sitting at this mm-hmm. table, and people are coming over and getting autographs. I've never done that before in my entire life. I was a new kid on the block. And so, and normally it was just, it'd be the singers up there, but they had all of us up there. And I was like, I don't even know what to say to somebody.
Your name in the group is enough.
Yeah. I remember leaning over, Leon, what am I saying? What is it? And so, but we had, it was just like you were growing and learning, and it was just a wonderful mm-hmm. process. And the people were mm-hmm. so kind and so into, you know, what we were doing, and they just loved us, and they kept on, you know, it was a wonderful, I mean, to be on that side and experience that kind of love from people you don't know, it's an amazing mm-hmm. feeling. And so for me, mm-hmm. as you know, I'm very humbled. I knew that I was, my parents have been praying for me, for, you know, and their prayers were coming true, and I was grateful for the mm-hmm. opportunity to be there with all these stars, and then being treated like a star. And I got to tell you, being treated like a star, you don't have to spend any money. They buy you everything. It's like, whoa, wait a minute. The ones that have money don't have to spend anything. That was just so weird. But
the audience, the fans are taking you out, and they're on their dime.
Right. I mean, they're buying you food. They're picking you up in limos. They're giving you the nicest hotels. I mean, it is just mm-hmm. on. It's like, you know, so, but mm-hmm. that's the reward of all the hard work you've done before you got there, right? So you're working hard and, you know, just as a child, you know, like developing yourself as an artist. You know, you're working hard. All that stuff, that's the benefit of all that hard work. And so, and I was just so grateful. Linda, is there any moments that you would like to share from the tour that really stuck out to you?
There are lots, but I was going to say something first about to follow your comment about fans. And that's what's so intoxicating about a public life. And I just want to add a cautionary note to that, that the most important thing while, you know, an artist or anybody in public life, an actor or, you know, political commentator, whatever, it's really important. Most importantly is to find a way to hold on and learn who the heck you are. Mm-hmm. And hold on to that, because you and I know many stories about how that can get out, that did get out of hand, or can get out of hand, because you lose perspective about you're still the same person. You're mm-hmm. just having a bigger social life. You work, and then you're touted and lauded for being a performer, but it's really important to hold on to who you are. It's
absolutely,
and you can't, and it's not easy for people to do that sometimes.
Absolutely.
It is not easy. That's why I think the tour that we were on, that was busy, it's not that it's easy to not get stuck in that public adoration, and people forget that that's temporary. That's for the moment. You know, you're still the person who you are inside. You still have to deal with that person. But the tour was so fast moving that we'd have a night in a place, and we were young, so it wasn't always that we weren't hanging out. And I mean, we were hanging out too, but it was really important to learn that you had to go to sleep at some point if your show was at a particular time that you had to manage. And So all of that, and we got to do that on buses or on an airplane or however we were traveling. If it was nearby, it was on a bus, next city. But there's still a little bit of discipline involved along the way, and that's not always easy for somebody who's enjoying the fruits of being a performer in the public world to hold on to. So that's something to always that always has to be faced and juggled. I just thought the tour was very important in the sense that it was a very important moment for the record company, for one thing, that they were offering, promoting these four groups that were delivering on the advertised promise. It was a huge moment for Solar, and a lot of more opportunities resulted from that. And then, you know, a record company is comprised of people always, and all decisions are not perfectly made. So, you know, so it's all life, and it's all a juggle, and it's all lessons. But I know I saw some vaccine things, behind the scenes things of, say, not necessarily negotiations, but just talks between, say, Solar Records officials and RCA officials, for example, and Solar and radio DJs. And it is such a complicated business process to consistently negotiate. A group records a new album, and the powers that be in that company choose the single, and the record company, and they let the record company hear all that stuff before, you know, we want this as a single. And then the record company, though, I mean, I'm sorry, the what's the word I'm trying to say? Distributor. And the distributors have business. They have to sell too. So they are playing what your choice is to the markets, to the DJs that run a particular market. Say that DJ is incredibly powerful and has, because he has a huge office, I mean, a huge following,
audience.
For example. Audience. He has a huge following. And so they listen, and they hear your choice, and then they listen to that, and they either back you up or they say, you know what, we hear what you're saying, but we've heard these other songs, and we'd like to do this one, because the DJs that test our products all agree on that. So all of that kind of stuff is going on behind the scenes. It's not just the group. It's not just the record company. It's who sells those records. The record company is offering their products of acts, and then the next step is the distributors have to sell it, and so they're going to be negotiating with the record company about what they like and what they don't like and what they're asking for. So it's a huge process, and truly that tour was a real moment for Solar and for all the artists.
So, you know, there was a moment in there when you said, you know, was talking about, you know, how it's difficult for a lot of people, for your egos to stay in place, because you're constantly being lifted by others. And I have to say that, you know, going back home to Philadelphia, and, you know, experiencing all of my family, like Don was talking about, you know, the family, mm-hmm. you know, can get a little crazy. And my family was like Don's family, a little crazy. And, but they mm-hmm. were so excited. And my friends were so excited. Everybody was so excited. So my ego, I could feel the inflation of like, I did
sure.
something, and I'm, you know, I'm different now than I was when I left, you know, because I mm-hmm. went out to California and I established myself as a professional musician, and now, you know, I'm reaping the benefits for it. And so your ego
so you prove
can
yourself.
Easily.
Right.
Yeah, but yeah. And so, and I'm, yeah. And so this is happening, but in the meantime, and I remember being dressed differently too when I went back home. I was, because I've been on the road, so my whole everything was different. And then I got a moment of reality when my mom says, "Hey, take out the trash, please." And I was like, "What?"
Exactly.
I'm not thinking that. No.
You still were there.
Take the trash. I was like, "Are you kidding
Absolutely.
You know, I just pulled up to the house with a limo, and you tell me to take the trash." But it was a reality. See, those things, they were false. They'll make you feel that you're bigger and better than what you really are. But the reality is that you are still, I am still her son. And she is still my mom.
You bet.
She tells me to do something.
Hey. Yeah, that's what I love, man. I love when your people bring you back to earth.
Yeah, exactly, Don.
Who is this?
That's Don Fleming.
It's
Don Fleming. Don Newton.
Oh, hi.
He's back.
I have a story, Wardell, one of my favorite ones, being on tour.
Yep. Tell it.
Okay, we're talking about, you know, like after you perform, everything is wide open for you to go out and hang out with your audience, with your crowd, with your fans. And I was weird in that when the show was over, I would escape. I would leave and do my own life at the hotel. And so Wardell's already mentioned our driver, Brad. And so Nydra and Jody and I are in the dressing room after the shows, and we're getting dressed. And Brad's leaning on our door and outside of it. And we all heard somebody holler, "Brad, I have a list of the parties that you know, I have a list of the parties to give you." And Brad said, "Look, man, I have to take Linda home. I'm not moving from this door until she comes out, and I'm taking her home. And when I get back, you can tell me." Now, home was the hotel. And so the girl, we were in the dressing room, we're just dying laughing at how cool and sweet that was. And so I was dressed first, and I would leave. And I'm walking with Brad, and I'm going, "Oh, my God, all these 400 women and other people are waiting to meet everybody." And he'd go, "Yep, that's typical." And so we'd go to he'd take me back to the hotel, and I would be on the phone for a little while, like talking to friends and, you know, to my friends that were away at their homes. And I would listen to other music I'd listen to all kinds of stuff, and I love jazz too. So I would do something different to change my mood, and I'd have dinner, and I'm like having a really real life moment. And later when the groups are coming back to the hotel, I would hear my band and even some of the other bands, especially the Whispers, knock on the door and go, "We would know where you were if nobody told us, because who the hell's listening to Chopin at 2 o'clock in the morning? Or who's to Miles Davis? It's Miles and, oh my God, you're listening to Miles and Ella." And I would be laughing and say, "Keep moving, just keep moving."
Wow.
That was one of my favorite, that happened a lot. That was one of my favorite life moments. So, there
well,
you go.
this is another moment. I think Linda. So when we left California, right before we left California, Shalimar and Dynasty was sharing a bus. We had a tour bus that we were sharing. And so, and just like Lakeside and the Whispers. And so they had a bus that they were sharing. So, but, you know, Linda, of course, wasn't on the bus with us because, you know, she's flying. And so we, so we're on the bus, right? And so, Don, were you on the bus too, or were you flying? On the bus when we were going through
Texas? No, I was on the bus, man.
And we went,
I was on the
bus. And we went through Texas, and we had a blowout. And it was in the middle of the winter.
Oh, yeah.
And we were, it was in the middle of the winter, and it was in the middle of the night. And the limos were
trying to change that tide.
The limos were ahead of us. They were gone. They were gone, you know. And so the buses
and
were like.
And I was with Brad sometimes. So I was sometimes with him.
Okay. And so the bus, I thought it was going to flip. I thought it was going to flip over because we're going 70 miles an hour. Right, and we were flying, and then all of a sudden, I was standing up, talking, and all of a sudden, I'm thinking, this is it, it's over, and my life is over. We're about to, the bus is going to flip, and fortunately, the bus didn't flip. Gravedigger held that bus. Thank you, Gravedigger. Thank you for saving us. And he held that bus. It was because we were flying and it was snowing. So it was snow, it was cold, and we had no heater because we broke the heater as we were leaving California. So we had no heater, and it was a nightmare.
That was one of the rough ones.
So I was like, Don, do you remember everybody's face turned white? I mean, we had like ice all over our face. The guys that had mustaches, their mustaches turned white. It was...
Trying to keep warm.
Yeah, and so then we had to. The gravedigger called the limos and said, "Come back and get us. We're stranded. You got to come back and get us because we will freeze to death." And so, like an hour later, because they had already gotten to the hotel, they had to come back. And so, an hour later, they came back and picked us up one limo at a time. Only so many people could get in. We had two bus vans, right? And so they had to, so we had to wait for all the limos, and finally, I got in one of the cars, and that was it. And we got back to the hotel. Thank you, Lord. But Gravedigger saved us, man.
I have a Niger story. Can I tell you a story real quickly that I'm remembering?
Go ahead.
When I was I got on the bus one night after a show. I'm riding the bus this night. And I get on the bus, and I forget who the bus driver was, and I go, what's the gas like? And he would tell me, and I'd say, and I'd go down my own checklist. How's this going? And Nigel's like sitting, and she goes, you see that? That's why I like her on the bus. Because if she had been on the bus, we wouldn't have run out of gas last week. You remember when that happened? And so everybody's cracking up. And she says, there you go, Linda with her checklist. How's the gas? I forgot where we... Oh, God.
Go ahead.
No. I was just laughing remembering her because it was really funny. So that's
cute. Don, any other those? Don, were you on the bus when we were in Indiana and the bus caught on fire? You remember that, Don?
That was the older buses.
Right.
You talking about the ones that had the solar on the side?
Yes.
I remember that.
That was,
Don
we had some
said
old,
those
old,
were the
we
older
out.
Buses.
Yeah, that's when we started out. They gave us some old bus. He had regular buses and took the seats out and put beds in there. Like, what is this?
Yeah.
But anyway, but we were. It was our first time. We were just happy to be doing something, right? Let's go. But the bus caught on fire, and we jumped out the bus, and it was our engine that was on fire, and we jumped out the bus, and once again, Julian and Don, it was snow that saved us. We took the snow and threw the snow on the engine.
Snow on the fire. Yep.
I missed those wonderful moments. Whoa.
And so we didn't have a bus for a long time, so we had to ride with Lakeside and Whispers. So we all ride together, and that's when I got to know the Whispers, Shalimar, Lakeside a little better because I was expecting, you know, T. Meyer McCain, one of the singers with Lakeside, I'm sat next to him. I'm thinking he's going to tell me stories about, you know, how to get girls and everything. He's talking about God. Like, come on, man. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
I was so disappointed.
He raises dogs now.
Yeah, I know.
He's a dog trainer now. Yeah.
No, not T. Floyd. T. Meyer McCain from Lakeside.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Who was giving Wardell spiritual lessons?
Right, exactly. And I'm thinking, I'm only 20, 21 years old. I'm thinking, we got to talk about girls. So, but anyway, listen, guys, I just want to say thank you to the both of you. We only got another 20 minutes left in the show. You know, this has been, it's just nice to be able to, you know, go back and remember those amazing times and stuff. And those, you know, we did have a good time, you know. Yes.
Wardell, was that a Solar tour when we played Detroit and the Cameo and The Time was on the show?
Yes.
Because I played with Shalimar, but I'm not sure if that was with Solar or was that a different tour.
I remember doing a show with Cameo.
Yeah, it was Cameo, and that was the first time I ever seen The Time. And I remember walking from... like the front to the back. This is in the old days when you had the old board for the sound and everything, and Prince was doing their sound.
I don't know that story.
So Linda, this is probably why. Because when we were on tour, we would get snatched out to go do other shows. Don was mentioning that earlier. We get snatched out to go do other shows. And don't forget, I was playing with Dynasty and Shalimar. Remember? I played with both.
That's right.
When Shalimar got snatched out to go do, we did some other stuff. Even Dynasty got snatched out. We did some other stuff, like with what's that in Philadelphia? What's his name? Teddy Pendergrass.
Oh.
We went and did shows with Teddy Pendergrass. But Shalimar got snatched out too, and they were doing, we were doing different shows. And so I remember doing a gig with them. Now, Prince was developing The Time. He developed The Time, so that's why he was there, mm-hmm. the sound man, because he was making sure mm-hmm. that they sounded good. He was like Leon Silvers, mm-hmm. you know, for them. He
right.
was overseeing, you know, he was like Leon Silvers was with Dynasty, just making sure everything sounds good and everything's good. But anyway, in closing, you know, you guys have anything else to say that you'd like to say? Anything that you'd like to say?
Go ahead, Don.
I'm just glad to hear Linda's voice and hear you. Solar was like a family. And also when you guys were talking about opening up for the Solar tour, you guys, like mm-hmm. you said, you set the level, because we all had to step it up just to keep it going. So we didn't we felt like, oh, we got to bring it. And we brought that to other shows, because I remember the Kool & the Gang had did a show with us one time. And they were just playing and standing there, because they had came from a jazz background. Then the next time we saw them and they played a show with us, they were stepping.
There you go.
Yeah, y'all taught them a lesson. But this was the one time, Don, when that was in Disneyland. Kool & the Gang did that thing with us, with Shalimar.
Remember
they were on that show. So I'm wondering, was that the time they learned the lesson?
I think so, because they had came from a jazz background, so they weren't moving too much. But the next time they were stepping and doing all kinds. Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
That's so cool.
That's nice
to hear.
Well, anyway.
Don, it was really nice. It was really nice hearing Don and feeling connected. We'll have to do that again. Thank you.
This is good.
That was really cool.
Thank you guys so much. And also, I just want to say, Greg sends a big shout out to the both of you guys, and Astrid says hi from Amsterdam to you guys.
Yay!
And
hello.
And you already heard from Julian.
Hug to Don and hug to Astrid. Okay.
But
all right. I said Julian. She called in and said her piece. She don't need nobody to relay her.
That's sweet, right? That's right. We'll be catching up with her later.
Yes. All right. Cool beans. So thank you again, Dynasty and Shalimar, for coming on and
blessing us
today.
Thank you, man.
Today.
Much love to both of you guys.
We appreciate
thank you.
And Jeff,
me too.
I want to give a shout out to Jeffrey Daniels because, you know, Don and Jeffrey go way back before Shalimar.
And that
was so sweet of Jeffrey to just say, I got you a ticket. I need you to come and play with Shalimar. And he just said, you know, that was so beautiful. I love those kind of stories.
That's wonderful.
So thank you. Thanks for sharing that, Don. We appreciate that. I'm glad that you were the one he called because I enjoyed you back then, and I'm still enjoying you to this day. So much love to you and your family.
Same
Happy
thing.
New Year to
Same.
You.
Happy
thank you. Thank
you too, my brother.
All right, guys.
Talk to you guys later.
All right. And we'll
thank
be right
you.
Back.
Much love. Too.
Yep. Thank you, Linda. Love you so much and appreciate you.
Thank you. Same for me. We're just old family. I mean, we've been family for a very long time.
Yep. That's right. We talk
Don,
all the time.
I'm going to say this. Don, we talk all the time. And I was thinking about when being in L.A. and we were rehearsing and Wardell would run to my place and just knock on the door and he goes, give me something to read right now that you're reading. And I go, oh, God. And so I'd go find him a book that we maybe dealing with. And he would, I would be the library. He'd go, okay, here's your book. I need another book. I'm oh, my God. Okay, here. You know, so we were all.
Yeah, well, you know,
we
I
were always
tell you
working on stuff.
But I was done. Mm-hmm. I was scared. She was another one of those girls I was afraid to be around, too. I was like, oh, boy,
oh,
I don't want to lose. I don't want to lose my job. I ain't trying to get fired. No. So I always had that on. Remembered, like, be careful because you ain't trying to lose your job. You know, those girls get you in trouble, man. And not intentionally.
Hey.
It's something happening.
Hush. Wardell, hush, because that's not even realistic. Let me talk to Don.
Hold it.
Don, I was always clear about who I was, so it wasn't anything difficult, okay? So we were friends and shared books a lot because that was my big thing to do. So that's the real deal. So nice talking to Don.
Don't she sound boring? Books and jazz. That sounds like she's so boring. and probably a salad on the side. Like, oh, good gracious.
Hey,
a salad on the side.
I could cook. Hey, watch it. You know it, too.
Yes. All right, guys. Well, shout-outs to all the listeners and to all the people that support Solar. We appreciate you guys, and we love you, and we thank you so much for supporting our music for so many years. You guys made it so that we could go out and enjoy that time together
and with you guys.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. We appreciate that. All right, guys, so we're going to take a small music break, and we'll be right back. We'll be right back. We love you guys. All right.
Baby, you're my kind of lover. Baby, you're my kind of lover.
hard in my dance, there ain't no doubt. It's live, live, it's all the way down. No even at the bump, no even at the five. It's five, five, look at the five. Forget about the couple, take your 9 to 5. Just stay alone, that's what you do, just stay alone. Now that you know what you're doing, what do you think? What is wrong with all the lakes I make?
Tell me what your body breaks, you might not get your body's so precise, you'll have to see it twice. He's throwing down a proper set, not everybody's gonna get him. But if you wanna take a chance, let's try this coffin down.
That was so good. I had so much fun talking to my friends, and thank you guys so much for, you know, hanging out with us and hearing these amazing stories from my amazing friends. And God is good, and you know, after all these years, we're still able to reminisce on such great times, right? And look back at it and go, wow, I cannot believe that some of the things that happened and some of the things we did. But it was good, and what a blessing. All right, guys, so listen, I want to play some more music for you. We got about another 13 minutes left. But the show is pretty much done, and we love you, love you, love you so. But I'm going to play a few more songs for you, okay? And you be blessed and have a beautiful and blessed weekend, a wonderful solar weekend. We love you here at Solar Records Radio. Don't forget, tomorrow, 2 p.m., it is a Motown thing here on Solar Records Radio, where we will be celebrating Motown, basically playing the music from Motown. So if you want to hear some Motown music, come hang out with us at 2 p.m. Just turn it on and do your thing and enjoy some good music. We love you, and God bless you. Take care, and we'll see you when we see you.
In the heart.